Orbit. We talk about the future tense of art. I'm Giovanna, the host who talk about the future of Web3. If you like our episode, share a like with your love. Sitting on architecture and landscape, craft chairs by an iconic architect. In this episode, I met Ted Galante at ICFF. His Manhattan chair immediately grabbed my attention. He made multiple layers of map and made the layers with the layers of history. The chair tells the story through its time capture design. I interviewed Ted Galante. He is a critically recognized American architect. Both his buildings and furnitures have been the subject of a national and internal design award and have been published widely in several periodicals and books.
My name is Ted Galante, as you know, and we have developed a chair that we shared and that you saw at the International Contemporary Furniture Fair, the ICFF, and it's been an interesting project. It's something that we've been working on for a while. The idea came about in 2016 or so. We were asked, our studio is in Harvard Square in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and we were asked by Harvard University to put some furniture out in a part of Harvard Square. And as architects, we do some work with Harvard University. And so I was thinking about this problem, this commission, and a week later I was on vacation. I was taking a trip and I was in Paris and I was sitting in the Tuileries Gardens. And I had my sketchbook and I was working on an idea. And I realized that I'm sitting in the Tuileries Gardens, another prominent place in the world. And I was sitting in what are really awful chairs. They were just sort of metal chairs with maybe a number 32 or something, but nothing of note or of interest. And it occurred to me that as an architect, I work hard at placemaking with my buildings, right? I try and have a building reflect some aspect of where it is and what it's about. And I thought, why don't we have furniture that does a similar thing, right? Oftentimes, furniture is stylistically designed or structurally designed, and architects have a long history of making chairs and designing chairs. For me, the question became, how can a piece of furniture reflect a place the way a building reflects a place? How can a piece of furniture be about placemaking? So I set about answering that problem or studying that problem. And the result is the series of chairs that we now have that are the Urban Fabric series. There's a Harvard Square chair now, and that Harvard Square chair is a series of maps. We have a our website that's been developed. It's the urbanfabricseries.com, and the Urban Fabric series fundamentally is a series of chairs that are maps that are layered one upon the other of a specific place. But they're not simply the maps of a place, they're maps of significant time periods in that place. So for example, the Harvard Square chair is a chair that is based on its four layers of maps. The lowest layer, the bottom layer, is dates from 1636, which is the founding of Harvard University. The second layer is 1776, the founding of the United States. Third layer, I think, is World War I in that case. And then the fourth layer is 2023, mm-hmm. because that's when we finished and published that chair. But we have a series of chairs that work for every city. So the idea is that one can have one of these chairs, any city, anywhere in the world, any time period. So across the top of the screen here, this blue one in the center is the Harvard Square chair. Next to it in the lighter wood is the Venice chair. And so the Venice chair is also exhibited in Venice right now as part of the Biennale. The European Cultural Council has an architectural Biennale that
corresponds
with the Biennale. And so we have these chairs in Venice. They were installed the same weekend as the ICFF. I was traveling a lot. And the Venice chair, for example, has the bottom map is 421, which is the year Venice was formalized. And then there's when the first bridge crossed the main canal in Venice, the Grand Canal in Venice, in as the Rialto Bridge was made of wood initially, and then another year above, and then I think the top layer in this one is 2021, which is the 1600th. Anniversary. And so when you're sitting on the Venice chair, the idea is that you're sitting in Venice as a place, but you're also sitting on 1600 years of history. You're occupying part of Venice.
Oh, yeah, that's something I really loved, this idea that you can experience the history. By sitting on the chair.
Yeah, and so that's
a great idea.
That's the intent. It's a way of the place kind of catching you when you sit down, as opposed to just sitting. It's an integration between the act of sitting and the place, and its history, its longevity, and in the United States, cities aren't that old, but 1636, sitting on 400 years of history, was something that seemed interesting to us. And so we've developed these many, many pieces now. We have a database of many cities in the world. We have a Barcelona chair and a Tokyo chair and many others. And we're exhibiting them in a few different places. The ICFF was one and the Venice Biennale, but we're also now going to show them in Doha, Qatar. Doha, Qatar is in October, and so we're preparing for that. And so now we'll have a Doha chair, which is actually in the works, literally under my office in our studio here in Harvard Square. And so we have a way of making these pieces and putting them together. So that's the process, and that's what we've been up to. And you can see on the screen the Manhattan chair. This is the one that was at ICFF, and some of the details. And these are laser cut wood maps. There's two sets of chairs, one for interior.
3D print.
Yeah, these are cut with a laser. So each layer is made of plywood, and we make the plywood actually, and then we cut the city map out of them. And so you see aspects of Central Park or...
Really sophisticated.
Yeah, thank you. This is a Harvard Square chair in blue, in Klein blue.
I love this blue.
Thank you. It's a fun... It's Yves Klein, but it's a version of Yves Klein blue. The Harvard Square chair in black. And so there's a few different that are in process.
How did you paint the chair? How do you do the color?
So the wood chairs are made of various types of wood that we select from different locations, and then they're machine cut, laser cut, assembled, and then there's a simple clear coat of polyurethane put on the chairs so that they are easy. They're easy to clean. They're easy to maintain. They're made very nice and simply. But the wood expresses itself very strongly in this way. The aluminum chairs and the wood chairs are intended for interior use. Right. The idea is that I can imagine a dining table with 9-10 chairs around it. And one chair is from Paris, and one is from Beijing, and one is from Tokyo, and one is from Mexico City. And the people at that dinner party are sitting in those cities and talking from maybe the geopolitical, socio-political conditions of that country and of that place or of that city, and having a conversation about that. And it would be a really interesting.
Yeah, sitting on the metropolitan cities.
Yeah, yeah. The furniture engages into the dinner conversation. And then the aluminum chairs are understood as an outdoor chair. They're made of aluminum and really were the initial genesis of the project. And I see them being, you know, used outside for outdoor cafes, hopefully at some point in the Tuileries Gardens, once I introduce them to the city of Paris and see if the city would be interested in acquiring many of them. And those are layered aluminum. There are two. They become structurally stable once they're all assembled. The maps are fundamentally holding the chair together, and they become the structure that holds up, you know, up to 300-pound person. Right, they're very sturdy chairs. And so as the layers are built, there are two independent frames that are loose, and then the layers are applied. And the first layer goes on and it's not really stable. And the second layer goes on, it gets a little more stable. And by the time we get to the fourth layer and we've bent the metal in the proper orientation and fastened it in the proper way, all the compression and tension and movement of a person is contained and stabilized within that the structure of the chair. And so once that is all folded and formed in place, we then do some polishing and finishing of the metal, and then we have it powder coated. And so the powder coating process is to answer your question, how do we paint the chair? It's really a powder coat that's baked on in a couple of layers and in a couple of different ways. And there are 6,500 colors available to us in powder coating. And so we're slowly rolling out those colors. The Paris chair, which will have the Tuileries Gardens on it, will be a sage green, because that's the chair that seems to be the most appropriate fitting the sitting in the gardens, and that's the upgrade of the chair that I was sitting in when I sketched and had this idea. The Doha chair, for example, will be a fiery orange and be more reminiscent or evocative of the desert, for example. And so the intent is to try and bring some gravitas to what we color them with, how we color them, to speak a little bit more to the place. The other piece of the equation, I suppose, is that we're in the process of figuring out where these chairs go in the world in general. One can go online and order a chair. And so, depending on whatever desires one has, it can be a company that does this, where there's some corporate history, like, I don't know, the Bialetti mocha pot company manufacturer, right? What is their corporate history? And they've been around for a couple hundred years. What is their history? And what are the cities? And what is the journey that they've taken? And so perhaps there's a chair that sits around the boardroom of a company like that, with that, where they're sitting on the company history about its location, where the first factory, where the founder was from, where the first factory was from, where they are now, where their corporate headquarters are. Every story, or every person, or every family, every person has a story to tell. And so one can order that story online and make it part of their life, right? They can order where their grandparents are from, and then where their parents are from, and where their children were born. And that can be a series of chairs put together, that become heirlooms in a longevity within a family, or within a company. So there's a lot to work with.
Actually, you can share that map if you have that on your website. I have these, yeah.
You can see here a little bit of the process, in fact. And so you start to see the, this is the one of the aluminum chairs being put together, and you can see the maps that are being assembled, and in this case, heated and bent to fit around the frame. You kind of get a glimpse of the aluminum frame here, mm-hmm. and the different layers of maps. So there's a lot of handwork involved. They're very craft-worthy products. I personally grew up using my hands for everything. I knew how to make things at a very early age, and I knew how to draw.
Will you have an assistant, or you just?
Yes. We have a team of people. Oh. I'm the creative director, but we have a team of people that are.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, right? This happens to me. Be me bending the chair. I don't bend all of them. Many other people do. This happens to me cutting one of the wood chairs, but I don't, many people are doing this. And in fact, this part, the table saw work, was really exploratory to try and figure out the geometry and shape and size of the wood chair and work through prototypes, right? Prototyping is something that just takes a lot of careful thinking and time and making and testing. But this process is now, we're now past the prototype process and beginning to digitize this process. So some of this will be not done by hand, but will be done by a CNC, a computer numerical controlled system that we have that will then help us build the frames faster, for example, right? But they're handcrafted bespoke pieces. And so this is just part of that process. This is the chair. In fact, I think it's the aluminum chair here that's being powder coated at the powder coating factory. That's not us. We outsource that. We have a local vendor that takes care of that. Here's evidence of the layers of maps that we're working with. This is the Venice chair, and we're still constructing it and thinking through all the parts and pieces. And this is in our studio where we're doing this. And so the maps, really have a long history of origination of how they're put together. I think these images are somewhat the same. And then I guess. Right. So I guess these are really where you and I met, Giovanna, with the maps being at the International Contemporary Furniture Fair, and I guess the European Cultural Council is the other place where they are. And so the maps were you can get a sense of the maps on the wall here. This is Harvard Square in 1636, the founding of Harvard University, and it's slowly building over centuries to the current day, and it being the dense city, and that chair happens to be this version in Venice, these are going to be in Venice until November. So really this entire year is going to be dedicated to exhibiting these chairs. This was really our launch. And then just to the right of that, this is the Grand Canal. This dark sort of smile shape is the Grand Canal in Venice in 421, and how Venice was built in 421 and how it evolved over time to its 1600th anniversary, on that side. And then what we also have just sort of as evidence is we have many different cities, Amsterdam and London and Barcelona, and we just built them as out of mini chairs, right? We have the Vitra Chair Museum, Vitra Design Museum has these small scale chairs of all the famous chairs in the world. And so we've been building our chairs in that idea. To illustrate the quantity of cities that we have available, and I don't even know the list. There's so many. There's quite a few cities that are out there, and we've scattered them about, all made in our studio, to illustrate what we have. So here's the Venice chair, for example. Chairs are something that we use every day and we all take for granted, and we sit down, they assume they're going to work, but making a chair is a really difficult task. It's a complicated, involved task, and this really is probably the third working prototype out of maybe 10 10 prototypes, and some of them, the idea was there, but it wasn't structurally sound. Others were structurally sound, but there was too much information. There were too many maps maps on the edges and maps on the legs, and so required a bit of editing to pull them back. And so this process of working is, we were making the chairs and exploring the idea, knowing that the idea has strength to it, right? This idea of history and placemaking and mapping. But to get it to function in an object took an extensive amount of research to get there. But once we did, then it really has taken off. And we're happy about the results. We're still working on the results. But one of the things that recently has come out is that we met at the ICFF, Furniture Today, apparently, put out an article about us, which was really, really great. And it's interesting to hear how others think about these objects, right? They think about them. This, you know, how one architecture studio fit an entire city in one chair, which is sort of the opposite of how I was thinking about it. But I really like that interpretation, right? It's about you know, how it embodies something. So we're excited about where it is and about where it's going. And equally excited about the idea of taking this to Doha, Qatar, which is I guess a similar event to the ICFF, but in a different part of the world. So while they are city maps of every city, any city, any time period, anywhere in the world, they're also starting to gain traction and be exhibited in many cities in many different parts of the world, initially in New York and currently in Europe, and then in the Middle East.
What is the approximately time to work for one chair, the time to make?
It's a great question. So currently, one of the wood chairs really can be made in 2 days.
Oh, and wow! Well, that's fast.
it's pretty fast. Yeah, we have the database, we have the systems, we have them measured and organized, and so those can get done pretty fast. The aluminum chairs probably take 3 to 4 days, and then require some powder coating. So probably a total of 5 days. The powder coating is actually much faster. It's really spraying. Powder coating is interesting because the aluminum gets cleaned, and then a negative electrical charge gets put into the product, and then this powder gets sprayed, and it's attracted to the negative charge, and it only goes where the electricity is. And then the chair gets baked for a number of hours, and so that takes a day, right? The powder coating sort of takes a day. So right now it's 5 days for an aluminum chair, about 2 days for the wood versions. If the maps need to be customized or tailored for an individual or a corporation, that might add a little bit of time in production to adjust the maps and such. And that process is being studied and sped up in different ways. We're currently, as I said, taking the wood chairs from table saw work to digitized CNC work, which is computer numerical controlled work. And so that will happen much faster. And the aluminum chairs are probably going to go through a similar process. But at the moment, everything is handmade, and that's part of the ethos of the product right now. That we believe the handmade craft quality is important. It's very high, and so that's sort of where that timing is.
So, do you usually do the research yourself, or do you need your clients? They provide some information to you.
No, I think the client really simply has to pick the city and tell us the time frame, and then we would do the rest from there. So there's a design consultation with the client that involves, sort of a fun process of going back and forth and talking about what's possible and how to select different times and why. And we might show them a couple of options for how what was happening in different time frames and what the importance of those pieces might be, and be able to make the chairs to their specifications. We certainly would recommend colorways, and 6,500 colors is a lot to choose from, and so we would make recommendations about how that might come about, and show samples, and there's a wide discussion that goes on.
You can talk a little bit about Manhattan chair. The one I saw at ICFF.
Let's see if I can find an image. This is the Manhattan chair.
Yeah. How did you get an idea from Max?
So I think the Manhattan chair, I'm originally from New York, and though we're in Boston now, there's a certain personal passion, I would say, for Manhattan and for the city. I've spent many years, and it's my home of homes when I'm wherever I am in the world. Manhattan always is sort of the basis for how I live and operate, whenever, if I can't find my compass directions, for example, when I'm traveling, I always mentally put myself in Central Park, and I know where north, south, east, and west is, right? It just sort of a sort of a visual map, a placeholder in my mind, and it's also iconic, right? I mean, I think the street grid is very strong, and very powerful. Lower Manhattan is all organic and curved, but then once it was planned from Houston Street up, it became a very organized and gridded city, except of course for Broadway and for parks and places in and around, and Central Park is one of them. And so Central Park is a sort of iconic place in the center of the chair that really defines. It's the one organic piece that is within this the overall grid, and so that seemed important to us. It's also Bryant Park, which is a tiny little park in within the grid, but it's this elegant little detail that shows up. And Broadway is there. I don't know if here's Broadway traveling along, and Columbus Circle down at 59th Street, and Broadway traveling. So there are little. Although there's a very sort of dense grid and complex definition of the city, there are these moments of sort of organic twists that really start to humanize the place. And I think that's one of the pieces that's very important about when one is looking at the maps and understanding all of them. And really it becomes a little bit of local knowledge and iconography. So for example, on the Harvard Square chair in blue here, there are many roads that travel in and around, and because it's older, many of them were cow paths, and there's one road that we drive on all the time, and it was originally called Great Swamp Way. So it was about, you know, people moving their cattle from one place to another. But this iconographically, this element in the center of the chair is actually Harvard Yard. It's Harvard University, and these are all the walking paths in and around Harvard Yard. And so, again, it becomes maybe a little bit of a local icon that starts to define what that furniture piece is about, much like the Manhattan chair has Central Park, and that defines what the furniture piece is about in a lot of ways. Each city, we've chosen and worked on each city to give them specific, to highlight some of the more popularly known places. And as people select them, they may say, I want to use Harvard Yard because that's where I met my partner or took my first, I don't know what, law school test or something. And so it gives the chairs a little bit more identity that works along with them. We're currently working on some tests to see if we can modify some of the colors. So for example, as we explore powder coating processes and identity, the Tokyo chair, for example, the flag of Japan is white with a red circle. And is there a way to use color to help identify place a little bit? And that's something that we're exploring as sort of a identity and to link a little bit more to placemaking. So that's something that's in process. We don't want to be too literal about that, but allow it to be a little interpretive, but provide accents that may help hint at those things. The other piece that turns out to be quite interesting, that it's hard to see in the smaller chairs, but many of the parts and pieces, the geometry, all of the roads and structures here that are bent over the back of the chair, they're very, very different from one chair to another. So some are very, you know, tight, some are very loose, and there's more open space. And so the figure ground diagrams that result as a product of these chairs are very different from one another. And so that'll become clearer the more chairs we have and the more we update the website and such. One of my personal goals is to see them populating Harvard Square and to visit the Tuileries Gardens and get to sit in a chair that I think is fitting of such an amazing place. Really interesting journey for me. You know, it started out as a commission, an architecture commission for some simple furniture solutions that's turned into maybe just a passion project because I believe that it's important that we put objects in the world that speak to us in a way that are expressions of who we are, and that's what I try and do with my work, and this entire process from 7 years now has been really just a passion project journey. It's not. These are not commissioned things. Harvard doesn't have these yet. But for me, it's a way of, it's like having a life plan that's to continuously study and research and refine and refine my craft to the place where it becomes everything I put in the world is a product of the discipline of architecture. And I think that's what this project has been for me. I don't know if it's successful or not, But for me, it's successful and because it's fulfilling. And I think it brings up questions that are interesting for people.
Well, you made it. You can see it. And now you showcase your cheers that you're already successful.
In that regard, yeah. I mean, I think that's the idea seems to have grown a little bit. And so that feels successful to me, yes. So I think that's where I am. That's where I am. And I would love... Yeah. Yeah. And I invite people to come look at the urbanfabricseries.com, if I can plug, and see what they think. I'd love feedback. Yeah.
Thank you so much for the interview.
That's great, Giovanna. Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited to see it all.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.